As Paul's already announced this morning, it's our Father's Day. Well, it's not our Father's Day, it's Father's Day. But when we as believers, it's our Father, it's every day, isn't it? So I want to talk to you about our Father. Appertaining to Father's Day. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, that you are our Father. Whatever state we are in today, Lord, that we know that you are our Father. And we've just been encouraged, oh God, by what we've been hearing from the Word. Arise, shine, and mount up. Give thanks to the Lord. Father, and all those good things that we're hearing from your Word, Lord. And we stand here today and we say, we thank God for God. That you are our God and you are our Father. And today, oh God, open our hearts to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So today in our nation, it's Father's Day. It's an unusual day because it's not as popular as Mother's Day. Which is sad in its own right. And it's a day where thankfulness, sadness and confusion run through our nation. Because depending who you are, it can be sad. Depending who you are, you can be really glad and thankful. And depending what situation you find yourself, you can be really confused. Yeah? So across our nation, it's a confusing day. It's a celebratory day. And it's a Thanksgiving day. And we have families, you know, in our nation that's got brothers and sisters in one family, but our brothers and sisters to two different fathers. And we have countless children who are abandoned, who are being fostered, and who are being adopted. Our society is anything but perfect. But thank God, God is a constant Father. Amen. That does not just wash over anything I've just said. But we have to have a model. We have to have a model in the nation so that everything can polarize around. And God is our model. God is our Father. Your earthly father may not have been the model. And your earthly father may have been a fantastic model. And if he is, thank God for that. You've got no excuse or no reason to be bitter or to use it as any reason why you didn't get what you were looking for in life. But think of those people who are in care. Abandoned. Fostered. We just have a different word for orphans today, don't we? And we find different ways to get them in families. And our nation needs people who will foster and adopt and take care of our children. And there's so much protocol around that, and quite rightly so. If you've been abused, the last thing you need is another kid being abused again on top of what's already gone before them. So protocol's the right thing. And there's a vacuum in our nation for fathers. Meaning there's a vacuum in our nation for role models. Everybody wants to be a role model in success. Or, you know, whether it's sport, business, music, whatever it is. Everyone wants to be a role model. But what we really need is models on the ground in every home. Amen. In every society, we need fathers. Fathers are our greatest model of success. Because it's no good if you're successful over here, but you're broken in bits. Do you know what I mean? If you're going to be all together, be all together. Don't appear like you've got it all together. But it'd be internally, have all the jigsaw, all the pieces in place. Amen? Amen? So, though there is a father for every born child, not every born child has a father or knows who their father is. But we know who our Father is. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be his name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? In me, on the earth. Why? So the model of the Father can be modeled in me and you. And Jesus said in John 14:17, the Spirit of truth. Now it takes the Spirit of truth to bring the model and birth the model in the home. If there's no truth in the home, then the model is completely flawed right from the beginning. Truth brings the model. He said the Spirit of truth, the world could not accept him. And we see that. Because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him. You know him. Why? Because he lives within you. And he will be in you. So this model now is on the inside. It's not just around us, God wants to be a model and an expression that's inside us. Amen? Now, we all carry our fathers internally to some degree. Do you know that? We all have our father's DNA, our natural father's DNA, whether you know him or not. You carry your father's DNA. You may not be aware of that, but you do. Part of your father's in you. And there's a part of you that you're unconscious about, and there's a part of your father that you are conscious about. And sometimes, depending on the background, you will fight about the part that you are conscious of. And you will resist. But God in you is 100% truth. And yet we still resist him, and we still fight against him. And yet his love for us is unbelievable. It's like something we have never experience before. And at the end of that, he says in verse 18, "And I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." If God is your father, God comes to you every day. Amen. If you invite him in and welcome him into your relationship, your walk, your work, your witness, if you bring him in, he'll be a father to you every day. Amen. Yeah. You know, even though I'm 61, I know I don't look it, but there you go. I still call on my father every day. I'm still a son who needs a father. I'm a father in my own right. I have three children. Or I'm a dad in my own right. But being a father is completely different. But I call on my father every day because I need him. I haven't got it all together. And I need him. And he promises, if you call out to me, I'm there. Even though I'm inside of you, Tony, I still need you to call out to me. Because we need our relationship to be real. And then God, me calling out to God and you calling out to God, shows God that you have genuine love and affection and need of him in your life. Never forget the importance of calling out to God. Our world is fathers, like we've just said. It doesn't accept or acknowledge God as being their heavenly father. So it has a different... It's looking for a different role model that's on the ground. Now, we have good fathers in homes today. Despite what I've just said about being a vacuum, there's also many good fathers in homes. And thank God for the good. Many fathers are doing a fantastic job. And let me also make this comment before I go into other things, is those women who are left to look after children because dads have walked out, they're doing an outstanding job. They're doing an outstanding job. But it's incomplete. The families are complete. God gave man and woman together. If you're going to raise a family, great. Now, we know there are circumstances that force these things apart, whether it's divorce, death, whatever it is. And the point is God's plan is still the best plan. Amen. The model is still the model. Is it not? Of course it is. And I found that model brought me great stability. So I want you to consider the following, if you will, and put it in the context of fathers and fathers needing to be in the life of their children. I could equally have this message and preach it just about mothers, right? But today's Father's Day, so I'm taking it from the context. So if you're a mother there and you're raising children on your own, please don't think I'm only saying a father can do things. I'm not. I'm saying it's Father's Day. I'm talking from the angle of fathers. If it was Mother's Day, I could equally say the same thing. But there are unique differences between a father and a mother. There are some things a father can bring that a mum can't, and vice versa. Yes, we know when we're thrust into the real situation, not the ideal situation. Remember, there's a difference between the real and the ideal. When father walks out, it's now got real. It's not the ideal. It's real. And we're moving from the real to the ideal. Yes? So you may have been in a relationship where your father was not there. And God says, okay, I'll take you from that point. We'll take you from the real and we'll walk you into the ideal. Amen. The ideal. ADT students, you know that was our motto. Yes. Walking from the real into the ideal. You start with what's real. Yes. You don't use what's not ideal as an excuse for not attempting or for not walking or not facing the challenge. We only live in the real. But we're moving, the pattern is showing us that that's the ideal. So we take steps and processes towards moving towards the ideal. Yeah, I'm not there yet, but I'm still walking. So think about this. Without a father, there is no seed to produce offspring. without a father. It takes a man. It also takes a woman, but it takes a man. Without a father, there's no seed in which to produce offspring. Without a father, there is no name to be given or carried. You get the father's name. We are sons of our father. By him we cry, Abba. Amen? Without a father, there is no identity to be imparted. Father's the one who sets destiny in the life of his children. You hear that? Fathers are the ones who set destiny in the lives of the children. And you say, well, what happens if I didn't have, my dad didn't put destiny into my heart? Your heavenly father will speak destiny into your heart. Because he takes a father to confirm and affirm destiny in the life of the children. So if though you don't have a natural father, don't worry, because your heavenly father is the model. Without a father, there's no male to give you affirmation and validation. A child needs a man's affirmation as much as he needs his mum's. Come on. They need masculine and feminine. You can't just be all one and all the other. It needs a mixture, a balance, a flow. Amen? Some days mum will say, oh, mummy's little soldier. Another days dad will say, stop whinging now. Other days, father will take the kid, put his arm around him and just say, I know son, but we've got to change these things. This behaviour's not good, son. And he'll do it in a different way. Right? But that masculine attention is what that child needed at that moment in time. Yeah? He can't always be mummy's little soldier. He's got to grow up and become a man at some point. He's got to become a boy and go into a man. He's got to transition. And it takes a male voice. That's why God is always masculine. God knows what he needs, what you need, and he'll always talk to you from what you need, and he'll raise you up as a man, not as a man, but a man talking to his children. Amen? So, without a father, there's no sense of purpose and destiny set in place. Without a father, there will be a lack of masculine equilibrium. Yeah? We can't all be flowers, and we can't all be trees. Right? We've got to be whole on the inside. Without a father, there is no one to take the child from being a boy into a man. That's one of the greatest absences and lacks you'll find in our nation. Too many men are still boys. And they had no father to take them from being a boy into a man. So we've got a lot of selfish young men who are still boys and think like boys and act like boys. And then when they cry and stamp their feet in front of the wife because they can't get their own ways, because they've not transitioned from a boy into a man because dad didn't do that job. Yeah. And all the women went, oh, that's why he's a bit weird. Yeah. Your husband's still a boy inside. It's because the job of the father raising him into a man has not yet finished. We all need someone to help us transition. Yeah. Transition's this. Transition means you're not where you want to be, you're not where you should be, but you are where you are. And you're incomplete until you've made the transition. Yeah. And you often need somebody to take your hand and take you from that point and lead you to the point of completion. Dads help us do that. Yeah? Without a father, a son has no hero. And a daughter has no first love. A daughter loves a father. It's nice to know John, isn't it? When you're walking down the aisle, a father's love is brilliant, beautiful. Dads need it. I used to think my dad could. There's nothing my dad couldn't do. In my eyes, dad was God. Dad could do it. My dad made the world. My dad could fight any other dad on the street. My dad could do anything. And then I realized he wasn't Superman. He was just man. He was super, and then he was also a man. But he never got he was never Superman. Amen? Without a father, there's no pattern role model to look up to. Without a father, there's no inheritance in which to glean. And without a father, there's no baton of legacy to be transferred. Fathers, we need fathers in the home. We need fathers in the home. We don't just need the guy, you know, my dad used to bring his paycheck in, give mum some money and keep the rest to himself. And then he'd say to me when I was growing up, son, always keep a fiver in your back pocket for a cheeky pint. She doesn't know about it. So he was telling me deceit from the beginning. No, I don't. And they thought they were doing. My dad says to me, his best advice given to me on my wedding day was, "You don't have to marry, you know." Gee, Dad. 23 years, Dad, we've walked together, and that's your best advice you can throw at me on my wedding day. You don't have to marry her, you know. Yes, I know that, Dad, but I want to. She's my life's partner. That was his best advice to me. Gee, Dad, your job here is finished. This came from the man who'd had affairs, multiple affairs. But we love him. We loved him. It's not only a father who stops loving their children, do you know that? Children stop loving their fathers. And that's a tragedy when fathers stop loving their children and children stop loving their fathers. That's when there's a real tragedy in the house. And Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 19. Let me say this to you. On the context of what I've just said, not only fathers who stop loving their children, but it's children who also stop loving their fathers. There's a lot of wounded children out there got angry towards their fathers. And you can say all kinds of things to them, but they still carry that hurt. And it's got to be dealt with at some point in life, and sometimes it never does, other times. You see, if you walk in Christ, God will walk you through those issues. I stand here as one who can testify God brought me through the fathering issues. And I can stand here now and talk about fathering because inside me there is not an issue with me and my dad. Thank God for that. Jeremiah 3:19. I myself said how gladly I would treat you like sons and give you a desirable land. This is father talking to a nation of children, Israel. I myself said how gladly I would treat you like sons and give you a desirable land, the most beautiful inheritance of all nations. Watch this. I thought you would call me father and not turn away from following me. But like a woman unfaithful to her husband, so you have been unfaithful to me, O house of Israel, declares the Lord. A cry is heard in the barren heights, the weeping and pleading of people of Israel, because they have perverted their ways and have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, faithless people, and I will cure your backsliding. So this is a father whose outstretched arms have been to Israel from the moment she was conceived. He's walked her through Egypt. He's walked her through a Pharaoh. He's walked her through the victories. He's walked her through starvation, hunger, cry. He's walked through all the teething problems that we discovered in the wilderness. And yet now the children are not loving their father as God expected his children to love them. Father's Day is a day now where many fathers will expect their children to show some kind of love to them on this day, whether it's a card, whether you take them out for a meal, whether it's just going for a walk with them, whatever it is, there should be some measure of affection shown by the children to their fathers on this day. There should be some kind of expression. Now, I've told my children, and me and Andy were laughing about this the other day, as I'm getting older, I don't want my kids to buy me a bottle of wine and say, yeah, Pops, and then walk away. Now, the bottle of wine isn't easy. I'm worth more than 6, 7, 8, 9 quid. Do you know what I want from my children? Just to spend time with me. Just time. Let's just do something together. Come round for a coffee. Let's just talk. Let's just be in one another's presence. That's the greatest gift as I get to 61. I don't want the wine, the chocolates, the smellies, the socks, whatever it is they bring you. I don't want the gift. They are the gift. They are the gift I want. That's me. That's all I want. That's why for me, climbing Ben Nevis with my son was one of the greatest things I've done. Because it was always about me wanting to spend time with my son. So a father's affection for his son is a, or his daughter is a powerful thing. But when the children don't have that in their hearts for the children, for the father, how sad is that? And we understand in the natural sense why that is so. Because fathers have not always been the greatest hero. But in our spiritual life, our father is always on the mountain. Amen. He's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. We have no reason. God's never let us down. And yet we don't always treat our heavenly father well. All the way through scripture, you find this wrestle with Israel wrestling with God's love and acceptance for her. And she's into prostitution, she's into harlotry, she's into adultery, she's into everything rather than staying faithful to the God that's loved her and led her and carried her. And you know, as a father raising children, the least he can do is be faithful to his family. Be honourable to his family. Love his family. And if we do that, hopefully our children will always carry an honour in their hearts for their fathers and their mothers. That's why scripture says, honour your mother and father. Why? Because if you don't, it won't go well with you. There's a warning there. Well, how do you honour somebody who's not necessarily shown love and honour for you? Now, that's where you need the God intervention. God has to come in and do something. And I've been that man, and I was rebellious, and I hated my dad. Had all kinds of issues with my dad. Until one day he walked through the church when I'm preaching and said, son, I'm proud of you. Wow, dad, this is not the place to do that. Do you have to embarrass me in front of everybody? Do you have to make me cry in front of everybody? Yes. And that was God's healing for my life on a public platform. But you know what? I wouldn't have it any other way now when I think about it. It was the perfect way. The chapter was closed. Just to hear those words, well done. Well done, son, I'm proud of you. Wow. Poof. God doesn't act out of uncontrolled temper. God is always controlled and measured. He says, well, I'm not God. No, but you have Christ inside of you. You have Christ inside of you. Now, Napoleon Hill said this, think twice before you speak, because your words and influence will plant the seeds of either success or failure in the mind and in the life of another. Words are seeds. Teachings are seeds. We sow. Hopefully, by the time you leave this building today and you've had your communion and your coffee, seeds will be in your heart and you'll go, you know what? What was taught today has helped me. I understand a little bit more about my Heavenly Father. I understand a little bit more about myself and the way I responded to my natural father. Or the way I can now respond to my father. I can still be affectionate to my dad and show him there's another side of me he hasn't seen yet. There's still room for improvement in your natural earthly relationship with your dad. Harry Okumo said this, I talk and talk and talk. Listen to this. I talk and talk and talk. But I haven't taught people in 50 years what my father taught by example in 1 week. Words are one thing, example is something else. If your example mirrors your words, that's a great teaching for your children. How many of us parents, we talk and talk and talk, and we don't always demonstrate and model. And we're all guilty, every father and every mother in here is guilty of that. But you know our God always actions what he speaks. Yeah. And you say, well, I'm not God. But you do have Christ inside of you. So every time you say you're not God, I'm going to come back to you and say, but you do have his son inside of you, who will model the Father's ways. You're not getting off lightly. So my teaching is the first pattern your children need to see. Teach your children well. Lisa, teach your children well. Next thing is, Paul says, my way of life. Children are observing our way of life. Children are watching everything we do. They watch, and what do they do when they watch? Copy. That's the pattern. Daddy does it. So, little Sally, she sees mum's high heels. What's she do? She steps into mum's high heels.
Johnny steps into father's slippers. What are they doing? We're stepping into the footsteps of mum and dad. Because I also can become a big woman. So what does little Sally do the moment your mum leaves the makeup round? Yeah. What does Johnny do with the makeup? Writes his name on the wall. Yeah. Johnny was here. They said, I didn't do it. No. Sally wrote my name, but Sally can't spell. My life. Fathers must carry more than just words. He must carry a life.
Yeah.
A life. Jesus carried a life. You know when we say, get a life, Dad? That's your kids telling you. You're full of words, but not life. Get a life. Words. But behind our words must be an example. We cannot become hypocritical or contradictive with our lifestyle from our words. The two must sync together. Words and life must sync together. Amen?
Amen.
You teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are. You teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are. I look at my kids and I'm really happy the way they're turning out. I really am proud of them, each one of them. They show some characteristics of mine. I'll leave that. I'll stop there. I'll let Carol fill in the blanks there. My way of life. Next thing Paul mentions is my purpose. Now I know that every Christian understands purpose. I know Christians understand desire. They understand a little bit about destiny. Purpose is a different thing. God's got to reveal something of why you were made. Purpose is much deeper. And if you can really get a handle on why you were made, it'll set the whole scene for the rest of your life. And if you can bring your children into purpose, that is a glorious, to me, that's one of the baton transfers of legacy. Setting your kids in purpose so they understand why they're born. Helping them understand why God gave them the gifts they've got. Why they think the way they think. Why they act the way they act. How God can use it. And helping them to then set the education, set all the encouragement in around that purpose that you see for your children. Rather than just say, when you get old, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, you're going to do this, but it could be a million miles away from their purpose. How much more would good parents be if we could channel our kids in purpose and around destiny? Rather than expecting to go through university and somehow find their God-given destiny over here, why not set the ball rolling here? So when you're seeking God for children, know why God's giving you children. Not knowing what, just don't, it's not enough for you to know what child you're having, but why God is giving you children.
Yeah.
For what purpose? Well, I just want to have offspring. Well, that's a noble thing, nothing wrong with that. But this child's a life. This is not just any child, this is your child. This is the same child that God knew before the foundations of the world. Before you were in your mother's womb, I saw you. This is purpose. God allowed this child, but maybe, why didn't that one make it? But yours has. We must know and set the ball rolling around purpose and destiny. Seek God so you know your children's destiny. I wish I would have understood this when I got married.
Yeah.
This came to me much, much later when the ball was already rolling and the pattern was already skew-whiffed. I could have maybe channeled my kids very, very differently if I'd known this earlier. Now God works all things out. But there's some things He might not need to work out if you work some things out. That's the point I'm making. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding. Colossians 2:2 says this. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. Paul worked on purpose. He ministered to the churches in, around, and through God's purpose for them. He always spoke with purpose. When you speak to your children, you teach your children, always speak with purpose and destiny in mind.
Yeah.
Amen.
Always speak to them. When you pray over them, always bring them back to purpose. This is the way, you know, that we teach our children. This is the way we should do. We didn't always have this knowledge. And you know, you might think, well, my children's a lot older. You can still bring them back to purpose. Once you know what their purpose is, you can still pray and affect them. God, bring them back. And you might say, well, Lord, I didn't know this teaching then. God says, it's okay. Connect with me, Abba Father. Start crying out for them in the Spirit through prayer, and I will work on your behalf. And we will see course corrections little by little. Can we not believe it? God can turn things around. Of course He can. So if your kids are going north, but you want them to go south, there's only one way that's going to happen. Prayer. And teaching. And keep chipping away, little by little. And slowly but surely, the ship begins to turn. And then, they're on course. Might take time. Might take a lot of crying out to Abba. But keep doing it. Don't stop praying for your children. The moment you do that, why will anything change? The next thing Paul says, my faith. So we're seeing here he's got his teaching, his life, his purpose, and his faith. All these are the qualities of a father. If the things of God can become casual in you, why do you think they won't become casual in the life of your children? You set the pattern. Children follow. Then he says, my patience. Every father is tested in his patience around children. Especially, the worst thing I always remember, when you're trying to get to school, and it'd be Laura, in our case, or Ben. Laura would always be looking for a sock or a shoe going outside the door. Ben would always forget his lunch. You know, they have to go back to school to take it to him. There was always something that was lacking and absent by the time they got to school. You know, oh, I forgot my pen, I forgot my book, I forgot this, I forgot my school kit, I forgot something. And as a parent, I used to pull my hair out and thinking, and I'd scream at them. And you'd tell them 1,000 times, have you got everything? Got everything. Get up for school. They get up. It doesn't matter if you get them up an hour before school or 5 minutes before. They're not any more ready or any less ready. The socks and the shoes are missing. They leave the coat everywhere. How many coats do we go through? It's amazing. And how many cardigans do they bring home that are not theirs? And despite them having a different initial on. There's enough for kids to make you go, whew. And patience. Oh my Lord. It's a tough one. But having no patience is a fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And little Johnny says to you, yeah, have you got the fruit of the Spirit in you today? I'm there to test you. The next one Paul says, my love. You cannot be a father without love for your children. Because there's nothing you won't do for your children. There's nothing our God won't do for us. All day long, he says, I've held my hands out. And I think one of the ways we can show our children love, and I've done it in my life, and I'm not ashamed to tell any of you, is the way Mum and Dad hold and pet one another. You know, Carol and I kiss and cuddle, and we've done it in front of our kids. And as the kids get older, they're like, oh, Daddy's gross. But I've held Carol, and I've kissed Carol in front of the kids. Yeah. Why? Because my kids need to see how a man approaches a woman. A man approaching a woman is the most powerful thing our children can ever see. How I approach my woman, my wife, to kiss her, and how I hold her, is one of the most powerful things a child can see. Why? Because I'm now setting the pattern of our approach. You don't just get hold of your wife and just snuggle. Kiss her. There's an affectionate way. And the kids I've looked at mum and dad, and I saw my mum and dad do it. And because I want my kids to see that you treat a woman with respect. And Laura needs to see men should expect to treat a woman with respect. So the way I talk to Cameron, the way we kiss and cuddle around the house, it's within boundaries. Right? It's within scope. It's doable. It's relatable. It's permissible. And the kids have seen it. Now, I hope Sam will be able to tell you, or Natalie, my little daughter, will be able to tell you whether their husbands do that thing. Because they've not seen Dad be rough with Carol, their mother. They've seen me be affectionate around her. And I think that's a good pattern. You may disagree with that. Maybe culture for you, you don't do that. But that was not, I didn't have a culture, I just created one. It was just something I did. Amen? How are you today, dear? Come in, give her a kiss. She'd give me a kiss, and the kids would walk out the room then. It's like they'd all run to the different rooms.
Too much,
Mum. Yes, but because you're growing up now, that's fine. But that pattern is there.
Yeah?
My love, let your children see your affection. Let your children see the affection. Let your children see the affection. Even when all your kids are married, show the consistent pattern that this woman I took before you began, before your time began, is still the same love and affection, still going to the end, the place called finish. Let them see that it's possible to make the journey and stay in love all the way to the end.
Amen?
Amen? That's the pattern. Because they may have seen the beginnings of affection. And you know what kids think? It's only them who's ever loved. They think it's only them who's ever kissed. No, before you was, we were. And we are committed to the place called finish. So they've got to see continuation is just as important as beginning. Amen? And we're some years on now, we're nearly up to 40. We're going strong. I mean, when Scott and the kids see us, they still see continuation.
Yeah.
Mum's still in good shape. She's not crying to the kids, if it won't love me anymore. No. They still see continuation.
Yeah.
The woman I said I do to was still saying I do.
Yeah.
The God who says I love you is still saying I love you.
Yeah.
So, the big one, next one, is your background history. Paul says, you know about my past. Because you bring your past into the present.
Yeah.
Whenever you meet a woman, you bring what's happened to you, where you've come from, into that relationship. And that cocktail can set the whole thing on fire. Or it can be such a blessing. We all have a past.
Yeah.
And we bring it into a relationship. And if you don't deal with the past will deal with you. That's a good thought right there.
Yeah.
Your origin can be disastrous, but it can be made good with Christ. When many people come from a destructive background, it creates deterioration in them that at some point will need some restoration. Now, a good relationship can do that. A good loving relationship can bring restoration where there was once deterioration. You know, Carol's character has brought so much to my life. Even the other day, I'm getting a little bit hot under the collar, and that arm just reaches out, honey, I heard your dad speaking. That's how I code when I'm getting a little bit. Because I say, I remember my dad doing this to me and I didn't like it, so she always reminds me, son, this, I see your dad coming through, calm down, I go. That's my emergency switch. Abandon ship! Abandon ship! Father's coming through! Because that's not the father I want to represent. That's the father I want to represent. So what it does, it gives me an element of self-control. But that's the tender, loving care of a wife who does that. Rather than saying, I killed your daddy! No. Tender-driven words. I mean, can I hear your dad? Okay. Reverse gear, like an Italian tank. Last one. My instructions. Paul says, my instructions. A father must be able to give instructions. Instructions come out of his teaching, come out of his way of life, come out of his love, come out of his patience, and all those qualities that we've been reading about today. Instructions. Our children need to take instructions. But how instructions are given is very important for how our children will respond. Our Father gives us instructions, does he not? Our Heavenly Father gives us instructions. And we also know that if we don't obey, there's consequences with our Heavenly Father, just as there has to be in a natural home. When Mum and Dad set the instructions and they want the children to follow, how it teaches more about us as much as it does about them. But we're trying to achieve the ultimate goal of obedience. We want what's good for our children. Instructions have to be given, and they have to be followed. Yes, they have to be followed. Because there's consequences if they don't follow them. Yeah. If you don't pick your shoes and socks up, you're going to school barefoot. If you don't pick your bag up, you've got no books when you get there, then you'll get detention. Yeah. If you keep wearing somebody else's cardigan, someone's going to come looking for you and punch you saying you've stole my cardigan. There's going to be consequences if they don't take instructions. Amen? Amen. What does it tell us to do around the table? First instruction is to do this in remembrance of me.
Yeah. Yeah.
The second instruction he gives you is to analyze yourself. Right? Analyze. The third instruction is give me praise. Celebrate what I've done.
Yeah.
There's instructions everywhere.
Yeah.
And we have to learn to do it. So in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 14, it says this: if anyone does not obey our instructions in this letter, take note of them. Don't associate with them, he says, in order that they may feel ashamed, yet don't regard them as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. And Paul was trying to say to the churches, we're going to go nowhere if we can't put down instructions and people follow. So take note of those who don't follow instructions. Hello? We can't come. When we got saved, the invitation was to come as you are. But now you're saved, the instruction is you can't stay the way you came. You've now got to change. That's an instruction. That's a command. You cannot stay the way you came. You must keep on changing. Some of us are still the same today, yesterday. That's not what the Bible tells us. Change. Change is necessary. Change is expected. Change is mandatory. How do we change? By following instructions. So, as we're going to take communion now, we need to turn to 1 Chronicles. I'll read this, Phil, and then you can take over from here. Fill in the gaps, anything you want to say, feel free, it's yours. So, if you want to bring the table out here, guys. Do you want to... And Sam, can you let Paul know? I said I'd give him a shout. I don't, great stuff. And any others? 1 Chronicles 29. I'd like us to, in light of everything I've just said, and say Phil will read, no doubt, but a scripture he wants to read. 1 Chronicles chapter 9. Let's wait for the troops to come in. I'll read it out to you because they could be wild yet. One Chronicles. 29. Picking up at verse 10. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. Now, the reason why I'm reading this scripture, because I think what Emma read to us and what Paul read to us, this is a perfect... God gave us the word at the beginning of the year, and it was the attitude of gratitude.
Yeah.
And when I heard what the guys read this morning, and heard what David pronounces in through Chronicles, I just said, yes, we must stay on course and let God take us through this journey of our attitude and gratitude. Listen to what he says in this. Hi, girls. Come here, welcome. Sit yourself down. For those who listen on tape, We're going about to take communion, and other people now are joining us from different parts of our building. People got context when they listen. Okay. Do we know that is out the door? All right. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you." So there was his focus. Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel. So he mentions God as his father. Yeah? From everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. I mean, a boy lays it on thick.
Yeah?
Yours is the greatness. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. Yours is the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. This is our Father. He's painting. Amen? Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted. There's a, you are exalted as head over all. Now watch this. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. This is our dad. Now, our God, we understand, after reading all that and accepting all that's just been said, he says, now our God, now our Father, we will give you thanks and praise your glorious name. What an amazing declaration David has just made there. In the presence of the whole assembly. Praise be to you, O Lord, the God of our father, Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatest. I want us to declare around this table this morning. Your attitude of gratitude is to declare that yours, O Lord. What's yours? Well, first of all, I am yours. And you are mine. I am my beloved. And my beloved is mine. The first thing you're doing is, I am yours, Lord. I am yours, Lord. The next thing we're saying is, the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor for everything in heaven is yours. Declare his majesty. Declare his presence. Declare his glory. Declare his greatness and his power. Why? Because that's the attitude. That God's asking us, I'm your father. It's Father's Day today. And I want you to recognize what Dad's got. And who Dad is. And who you are in Dad. Amen? So let's, Phil, I'm going to hand over to you. Take us into communion.